we'll praise him and exalt him. And what else do we got to do?
Rejoice and be glad in him.
All right.
This is the day that he's made.
Amen. But he's good.
He's good.
He's to be obeyed.
Yeah.
And we're going to take him serious.
Amen.
The world doesn't know how to take God serious. Did you know that? The world does not know how to take God serious. The world thinks God is an idea, a concept. They don't believe God is a real person, the creator of all things. They believe this book is a book of suggestions. They don't understand this is God's word. So they take this book and they twist it. And they make something out of it that it's not. And then, if they can't do that, they go and try to rewrite it to suit them. And we've got all kinds of books out here calling itself the Bible. But you know, there's a real one. Because God said in his word, he'd preserve it from generation to generation. Tried as though in a fire. Gold and silver, 7 times. God has always had his word. And he's always had a people. Amen? And you can always tell those people. You can always tell them. Because they believe God. You see? They don't just believe in God or a God. They believe him. The world doesn't want to believe God. Because if the world believed God, the world would be condemned in its own eyes. Well, the world is already condemned, folks. Newsflash. The world is condemned. And all that is in it is condemned. Because of sin. Now, sin is not an imagination. I was talking to the brother back here, and I'm believing God. He's going to be healed tonight.
Amen.
You going to believe with me? You're going to be healed tonight. You're not going to have that stuff anymore. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. I was praying in the trailer today. I've been spending most of the day in prayer. As you know, you guys come by the trailer and you got my blinds are closed, and you know that you don't come in there then, right? But I've been praying, and the Lord has really put it on my heart to say some things tonight. And one of those things is that to take God serious means to believe every word that he says. If God says sin is sin, then we have to believe sin is sin. It's not an error of thought. Amen? I had a man come to my house one time and tell me that sickness wasn't a reality. It was just an error in thought. It was wrong thinking, that it didn't really exist. It's just that we believe it exists, therefore it is. And I asked him, I said, does this table exist? He said, not really. It's just a thought. And I said, if I pull a bullet in your brain, you're going to tell me that doesn't exist? If that bullet goes through your brain and blasts it out all over the back wall there, you're going to tell me that was just an error of your thought? No, it's reality. Sin is reality. Sickness is real. It's not a thought error. It's real. And it comes by Satan, and it comes by sin. And many people try to get healed, but they try to get healed the false way. In order to get healed, you've got to deal with Jesus if you're going to do it right. It was upon his back the stripes were laid that took away sickness and disease. It was upon the back of Jesus. And that wasn't a false thought. That was real. It really happened. And he wouldn't have done it if it hadn't have been real. Amen?
Yes.
If Jesus Christ died on the cross for something that wasn't real, then he was dumber than anybody that's ever walked the earth. Huh? Sin is real. Sickness is real. And it's part of the sin nature. And Satan uses it to turn people away from God. But praise God, to those who believe Jesus Christ and the power of God, He has given a way to get rid of sickness. To get rid of it. To get it out. And those who believe Him walk in that faith. Amen? And we're going to see that tonight. Praise God. Sing your song, son. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. You know the Lord's here. His presence is in this tabernacle. He has promised me that His presence will always be in this tabernacle. But as we were singing, it was, oh, my spirit just watched Him walk in. And 10,000s of His angels are watching what we do here tonight. They're watching us. You know, I want you to key up a song for me. It's in the key of C. And if you listen to me, you'll know what it is pretty quick. You know, there is a song that I can sing when I get to heaven. And all the angels will be singing up there, but when I start singing this song, every one of them will shut up. Think of it. To be able to shut the mouths of 100 million angels. Because when I start singing this song, that's a song they cannot sing. They can't sing this song. You know what it is, don't you, son? Play it for me. My life that I thought God hated me. I thought there was no hope. And because I thought there was no hope, I figured that there was no sense in trying to please a God that hated me. So I tried to do everything that I could to show Him I didn't care. But God knew my heart. See what I'm saying? He knew my heart. And He knew I did care. And He cared. And He sent His love. His precious Son to me. He said, Son, I love you. And I wish I could say that that changed my life right then and there. But it wasn't very long right after that I had just convinced myself that I had a hallucination and it wasn't real. And it took a preacher that I didn't know to set me straight. I was reading to Scott today in the book of Revelation. Had no clue how this was going to pan out, but God showed me how to put it in here tonight. And in that book of Revelations, in chapter 19, verse 10, there's a part in there that says, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Couldn't explain it to Scott, but I can explain it now. Because when the Lord told him to tell me what the Lord had already told me, That was a spirit of prophecy as the testimony of Jesus through that ministry. And that stopped me right there in my tracks. 3 days later, God baptized me with His Holy Ghost. And He's never let me go. I've been healed and delivered. People look at me with these thick glasses and they say, "Oh, you've got eye problems." Folks, I was blind. There was a time when I was blind. Anne remembers that time when I was going blind. She learned faith. Because I didn't want to stop driving. She learned to get faith real quick. "Davy, there's a traffic light. Davy, there's a traffic light. Davy, there was a traffic light." About the time I decided I better stop driving. The retinas in my eyes were destroyed. The doctor said I'd never have my sight again. That's the nice thing about being a preacher versus being a doctor. Doctors always practice. But as a preacher, you can learn to get it right. You don't have to practice anymore. You just do it. Amen. He restored my vision. He healed my back. Healed me of colitis, hypoglycemia, ulcers. He's still healing me of stupidity. That's a little harder. And He can do it. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to know the love of God. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all be seated. I'm going to build a little faith here for some of you. Now, some of you have known me for a long time. Some of you haven't known me for such a long time. Some of you kind of know me in between. Those of you who have known me for a long time have heard me say, if I say a thing, it comes to pass. And some of you just haven't known me very long. You heard me say it, and you kind of looked at me weird. But I'm going to show you something tonight. Be it the will of the Lord. That I can say that with confidence. Scott's an example. I like to pick on Scott. Because 7 years ago, I told Scott he'd be a part of this ministry and he'd be a Christian. And Scott said there was no way. And I told him it would happen within 7 years. Here it is 7 years later, and there he is. Praise God. Yeah, you can cheer the Lord. Don't cheer me, cheer him. Amen?
Amen.
When I met Ann back in 1976, she was a cripple. And I said, "Woman, before I leave here, you're going to walk." And she had absolutely no faith whatsoever for healing. She didn't believe God healed. Am I right? Especially wouldn't heal her. What in the world would he want to heal her for? She wasn't worth anything. Is that right? At least that's what she believed. But she was worth a lot to God. Amen. To Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I said, "Before I leave here, you're going to walk." And she walked. Been walking ever since. I told Miss B, back up in Berlin, she'd be traveling with the ministry. She thought I was crazy. Is that right? That I have that effect, or what I say? You love God, say amen.
Amen.
Probably a little both. Didn't know how it was going to happen. Didn't have to know how it was going to happen. All I knew is that God said it, I believed it, and that's enough for me. Amen? Now I want to show you something. Over in the book of Mark, if I can find it. I'm going to show you this in parts now, because you see, you hear a lot of people talk about Scripture and take a verse and say a thing. But what they don't understand, what a lot of people don't understand, is when you listen to people, you can't just listen to what they say. You've got to go back and read it for yourself and then look at the context. You've got to look at the context. And if you look at the context, then you'll find that most of the time when people teach a thing, they're wrong. Because they try to use Scripture to further their idea or their agenda. My purpose, folks, is to take the Scriptures to further God's agenda, not mine. Now, in verse 12 of chapter 11, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he," speaking of Jesus, "was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." He came to that fig tree, and there was no figs on it. "And Jesus answered and said unto it," said unto the fig tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. And starting in verse 15, they went on up to Jerusalem, and we're not going to deal with when he was at Jerusalem. We're going to go down to verse 20. And in verse 20 it says, "In the morning, as they passed by," this is after they left Jerusalem, "they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest did withereth and died," or withereth away. It died. It withered up. Now, this next verse is very important, because this next verse is the key of understanding everything that he's saying here. Verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." That is the anchor to all truth. The foundation of faith and the anchor of faith is to have it in God. Not in man. Not in some book that a man wrote or a woman. Anybody can write a book. Charles Darwin wrote a book. Huh? Anybody in this tent believe Charles Darwin? And on his deathbed, he confessed it was a hoax. The whole thing was a hoax to get back at the hypocritical educated of the day. Thought they were all a bunch of monkeys and wanted to make monkeys out of them. It was a whole satirical joke. And those idiots, being the monkeys they were, actually believed it and went with it. "Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Now that's your foundation. And that's your root. If it doesn't agree with God or His Word, toss it away. Get rid of it. Verse 23, "For verily I say unto you," Who's he speaking to here? Speaking to his disciples. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And people have wondered, what's your secret, Richard? What's your secret to be able to say a thing and know it's going to come to pass? Did you have a question? Well, we're going to get there. But that's a good question. See, at this point, it's just the disciples. And the disciples he called as his apostles. And his apostles, according to John 14, or 17, John 17, were sent out in his stead to represent him. And they went forth and gave out the gifts that were from Jesus. And then they could make more disciples. So, in answer to your question, the answer is yes, if the conditions are met. And the conditions that are met is that you have to be under the authority that God ordains. Remember when Jesus was asked by the centurion to heal his servant? Jesus said, yeah, let's go. The centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. And he said a marvelous thing. He said, see, I'm a man under authority even as you are. He recognized that Jesus was under authority. He recognized that. And because he recognized that, he said, I'm a man under authority. He knew how authority worked. He said, I say to this one to come and he comes. I say to that one to go and he goes. So I know all you have to do is say the word and it'll be. It'll happen. And Jesus turned around and said to the Jews standing by, he said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in you. Faith gets its power from obedience. Obedience is what gives faith its power. Doubt takes faith away. What creates doubt? Disobedience. Obedience to the Word, obedience to the Gospel is what gives faith its power. And obedience to the authority that God has. And church, God's authority is very simple. It's Jesus Christ, amen, then the apostles, then the prophets, then the evangelists, then the pastors, then the teachers. And some people will say out there, well, wait a minute, there are no apostles and prophets today. Well, I hate to tell you, church, but somebody forgot to tell God that. There are still apostles today, and there are still prophets, just like there are still evangelists, and there are still pastors, and there are still teachers. It's not God's fault people don't want to believe His Word. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 12, these offices have a purpose, to perfect the saints. That's the job of the apostles and prophets, because to them is given the mysteries of God. Ephesians 3:5. The work of the ministry, that's the job of the evangelist and preacher or pastor. The evangelist goes out, chases them into the church, and the pastor hogties them and keeps them there. And the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the job of the teachers, to teach the body and build it up. Amen? All right, and it also says how long that's to last. In verse 13, till we all come together in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man, under the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Now you see, if the churches hadn't thrown out the apostles and prophets, they wouldn't believe they were a bride. Huh? That's the truth. But when they throw out the apostles and prophets and kill them off, just like they did in the Old Testament, they killed off the prophets in the Old Testament. Huh? You ever wonder why the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles? Somebody tried to tell me way back, I think it was your mother, son, tried to tell me, oh, well, that's really not supposed to be the Acts of the Apostles. It's supposed to be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Well, you see, they changed that to try to do that so that they could take away the importance of the apostles. God knew what He meant when he named it that. He wanted it named that for a reason. And you notice it's the only book in the Bible that's not finished. You know why? Because it's still being written today. It's still being written today. God has still got a book of remembrance for the apostles that He's ordained from Paul right on down. From Peter, James, and John. So, you've got to understand it. What's the church foundation built on? The apostles and prophets, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Take away, what did Jesus say about a house built upon sand cannot stand? It's got to have a rock for foundation, a firm foundation. What's the foundation? The apostles and prophets. If you take the foundation of the apostles and prophets out from under a church, then the church can't stand against wickedness. It can't stand against sin. It can't stand against disease and sickness. It can't stand against the devil. It cannot stand up and do that which is right. Do you understand what I'm saying here? If the church is built upon the sand, take away the apostles and prophets, then when tribulation comes, it can't stand. When sickness comes, it can't do anything about it. So what do? Instead of saying, God be right and every man a liar, God be truthful and every man a liar, God be right and every man wrong, instead of saying that, they try to say God is wrong. They try to say the Word of God isn't real anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Anybody understand what I'm saying here? So that the Word of God has never changed, and it will not change it. No matter how many times people try to change it, it will not change. God has ordained some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And you're not going to get around that. Remember, we talked about last night, that they that don't have the signs following don't have the signs following because of what? They don't believe the gospel. See? They don't believe the gospel and they don't have the three baptisms. All right? What is part of that gospel? Part of that gospel is Jesus is the head of the church. To follow Him through His line of authority. I went into a church one time up in Crownsville, Maryland. It was a Church of God, I think it was. They call it Church of God of Eagleheart. Wasn't that what it was? The Lord told me to go into that church. And I went in there, and I'm sitting in the back of the church, minding my own business, and the pastor started praying, and he asked God, Lord, what's happened to the power in your church? Where'd your power go? And I'm sitting there, just not saying a word. And all of a sudden, this preacher comes out and looks at me, and he says, son, the Lord sent you here. I can see you've got the anointing. You know the answer. Come and share it with us. And I went up to share it with him, and I got about 5 minutes into it, and this old lady in the front row just kind of went, and he stopped me and he said, son, we can't listen to any more of this. I said, I understand. I said, I know what you mean. But know you this day that God has sent His messenger and you've rejected Him. Therefore, the candlestick is removed. And I left that church. And it wasn't long after that the steeple in that church collapsed right into that church. And today you can go buy used furniture there. God's not going to be mocked. The Word of God can bring you life if you believe it and accept it. It can bring you death if you reject it. If you take the Word of God and you digest it by faith, you believe it, it will give you life. If you reject it, it will bring you death. That's why it said in Mark 16, they that believeth and are baptized shall be saved. They that believeth not, in other words, they reject the truth, shall be damned. That's not a choice, folks. That's an ultimatum. So here, Jesus is saying, first of all, to his disciples who were to become apostles, have faith in God. Not in man, not in government, not in anything else but God. Then, when you have that foundation right, then you can say to the mountain, be plucked up and cast away, and it'll obey. Then you can, whatsoever things you say shall come to pass. That's how to do it. Now, when the church comes in line with God's Word, and when the church comes in line with the obedience of God's Word, and to those that He sets in order, then the church has the power. And the people in that church, under that authority, also have that authority. You see what I'm saying? If the president says to the general, go tell the colonel to take care of such and such, and the colonel goes to the captain, and the captain goes to the lieutenant, and the lieutenant goes to the sergeant, and the sergeant goes out and tells the private to go do a thing, that sergeant has just as much authority in what he is saying as the general did, or the president. Amen? But if the sergeant goes out on his own without orders and gives a commandment, then where is the foundation for his orders? There is none. And you see what the church has done by taking away the foundation of God's Word and His order. They are speaking of themselves and not of God. Do you remember the guys that went out, the seven sons of Sivai? They went out to cast out a devil, and they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And that devil turned and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but I don't know who you are. Huh? And that devil jumped on those guys and sent them down the street packing, yelling, bleeding, and screaming, and naked. You know, that's about where the church stands today. The church stands naked before the Lord because they don't have that line of authority. But we do have that line of authority. And that's why the power of God moves here. And that's why I can say, what is the name, Al? Al, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that cancer and command it to be gone. And you shall be healed in Jesus' name. That's how I can say that. And know that what I have said shall come to pass. And I want you to stay in touch with these guys. And I want to hear what the doctor's report is. Amen? It's going to pass. You are healed. And I believe that with everything in me. Why? Because God told me. God told me if I said a thing, it'll come to pass. And I know that. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, sing me a song, son. Praise your Lord.